Hey folks, this is Dave, and I want to spend a few minutes with you telling you about something that's very near and dear to my heart. As a matter of fact, this may be the most important thing you ever hear. Not because I'm telling it, and not because it has something to do with me, but because it could literally change your life and your death. I want to start out by giving you a little bit of history on me, things that you don't normally hear maybe in books or tapes or other issues on me. I grew up, as most of you know, in a middle-class household. Mom and Dad were working people, and they taught us to work. What a blessing to have parents that make you W-O-R-K, to work and work hard. And literally, they taught us to plan and to set goals and to have a vision and to think positively. And Dad was an entrepreneur. He owned his own businesses, so he taught us to do the same thing. And that, man, that is just a cool thing to pass on to a kid. And it has formed and shaped and literally changed my life. And a lot of what I am today is because of those foundational things. And I honor my parents every time I speak by reminding all of you that you have those kinds of impacts on your children. By the time I turned 18 years old, I realized I wanted to be in the real estate business, or at least I thought I did. And I sat for and passed my real estate exam at 18 years old, started selling real estate, got my Graduate Realtors Institute designation, my GRI at 19, one of the youngest in that state at that time to have done that. I went through college even and sold real estate while I was in college and went through 4 years and got a degree in finance and in real estate. I've always been able to set and accomplish goals. Sometimes it takes a little longer. Sometimes I fell down more than I walked or ran, but I was always able to crawl, run, drag myself one way or another to be able to win. When we graduated from school, I met my beautiful wife, Sharon. We got married and moved back to Nashville, Tennessee, where we started our lives. We started with nothing, like most of you, driving a 1902 Pinto. We ain't got money, honey, but we got love, and it's a good thing, too, because we ain't got no money. And we started our lives. But we were full of ourselves. We were full of expectations. We were full of dreams. We were going to be somebody. You remember those feelings when you first start out that you're invincible, you're immortal, everything's going to go your way? Don't you wish you could maintain that level of optimism, that level of positive thinking, that level of energy? But pain and time tends to steal some of that away from you. What happened to us, as many of you already know, is that we got rich. At least by a kid from Antioch, Tennessee's standards, I started buying and selling real estate, and by the time I was 26 years old, I had about $4 million worth, and I was making about $20,000 a month cash taxable income. I was having a blast! I mean, it was fun! Where I come from, that's a lot of money, and I'll tell you what, being able to get a Jaguar and drive it around and get Sharon some of those sparkly things on her hands and go over to Hawaii and enjoy ourselves there, man, I'll tell you, those were dreams come true. We were doing it. We were living the great American dream. About three-quarters of the way through that process of becoming wealthy and of making a lot of money, I started having this weird sensation. I was winning. Everything was going my way. I had the Midas touch. You remember the story of the king who everything he touched turned to gold. I really had it all going on, you know? I mean, I had it figured out. But this weird thing started happening. It wasn't good enough. Jaguars are great, diamonds are fun, and certainly Hawaii's a good time, but there was just something missing. There was a hole. And it became troublesome, and it became, honestly, increasingly troublesome, because I'm one that makes decisions. I like to figure out what's wrong and pull the trigger on it. And once I started identifying that, hey, something was up here, there was this stirring, this indigestion in my spirit. And I had never experienced that before, because I had always said, hey, you think positive, you set a goal and you go accomplish it. Yes, you may have some failure that's intermittent along the way, but just don't stop and you'll win. And I was winning. And so what's up? Why am I waking up early in the morning with wide awake and just don't feel whole? Don't feel complete. Pascal said that in every human, There is a God-shaped vacuum. There's a hole in your soul that only one thing can fill, and that's God. You know, most people begin to realize at some point in their life, I guess as they grow up, sometimes it happens at 66, sometimes it happens at 26, sometimes it happens at 6. For me, it was about 24 years old. Most people start to realize that stuff is fun, but it just doesn't do it. Other things that we try to put in that hole don't seem to do it. Some people are attracted to drugs or alcohol, and they try to put something in that hole to fill this spiritual vacuum. But that hole has a weird shape, and only one thing fits it. There's only one key that sits in there perfectly. And you can try sex, and you can try pornography, and you can try gambling, and you can try all these other things that really end up damaging you. But really, we're all hunting for something to put in that hole. Sometimes you can go out and sit in the woods and feel like you're filling the hole, but it still doesn't do it. It's just woods. And you come back to the house, and life's there waiting on you, and there's still this weird, empty indigestion in your spirit. See, I've had a lot of stuff, but I knew I really hadn't thought much about spiritual things. And, you know, I had heard all this church stuff, right? You know, there's a hypocrite in church, and I went to a church once, and there was a guy asleep in the choir loft, and I'm thinking, man, if there's a God, you got to be more excited about it than this. And you know, I've heard all these boring, irrelevant sermons that have nothing to do with anything I was doing anyway. I mean, what is a Jebusite, and who really cares? Where do the Hittites live? I mean, is that a place in Alabama? I mean, what's up with this? You know, this stuff did not. It appeared to be much fun. And honestly, a lot of people that were, quote, church people didn't seem to be having much fun. I mean, the only funny church person I knew was on Saturday Night Live, the church lady. And that's kind of how I felt about church and church people and spiritual things as a result. But I still knew something was missing. I knew it wasn't the church lady. I knew it wasn't the bored guy in the choir. And I knew it wasn't a Jebusite. But I knew something was up. I was at a seminar, and this guy was teaching us how to handle the business that I was in at that time and how to do better at it. And he was very good at it. He was making a lot of money, and he told us all the things that we needed to know to win. And then he said, you can do all those things and you still won't win. You've got to check out this man named Jesus. You've got to know about spiritual things. And I went, yeah, I've heard about this Jesus stuff. I've met some of those people. I don't want anything to do with that. But I went back to the hotel room that night, and honestly, it just haunted me. Because everything else he had said was right. And I knew I had this indigestion, and so this just kept ringing around in my head. And I came home and announced to my wife, who was a church person, that maybe we needed to check out a couple of churches. Well, she about passed out, honestly. She was like, you know, bring my husband back. The body snatchers have gotten Dave, you know. It was so out of character. And I did. I stumbled around, and we visited some churches, and we found some of those things I was talking about. Some boring, irrelevant sermons. Some preachers who thought they needed to be your daddy. I found all these people that were messed up people. But I wasn't going to quit, because by then I knew I was onto something. And I found some good people there too, which was kind of a surprise to me. And I found some preachers and some pastors who really did care about people. And you know, I found out there's all kinds of different styles and brands of churches, and you know, different types need different kinds of churches. I'm kind of a wide open, enthusiastic guy, so a real calm, serene approach really probably isn't going to attract me, right? But everybody can't be everything. So I found some folks who were excited about spiritual things. And then I had a guy ask me a question. He said, suppose you were standing right in front of God right now. You were at the pearly gates, and God himself walked down to check out who was in line today. And he moved St. Peter over to the side, and he said, hey, Dave, why should I let you into heaven? I'll ask you that. Why would he let you into heaven? What right do you have? Do you have a card? You have one of those little membership cards, say, I belong? You paid your dues? You know, a lot of people have a lot of answers to that question, and almost everyone has some kind of an answer. For a second, I didn't have a clue, and then I went immediately to all the good things I've done. I'm a good guy. I've never cheated on my wife. I take care of and feed my kids. I pay my bills. I'm a good guy. That's where I went. Now, different people go different places. Sometimes they say, oh, well, my dad was a preacher. My grandfather was a preacher, and his father before him was a preacher. So that means I'm guaranteed, right? People have all kinds of answers to that. But none of that really filled the hole in my soul. I'll tell you what happened that really did was I found out that God himself, the guy who spoke galaxies into existence, is crazy about me, that I am his beloved, as Brennan Manning says. I am his beloved. Can you imagine if you looked, men, at your wife, or wife, if you had your husband look at you and say, you are my beloved, treasured. He is crazy about you. That was a revelation to me. I thought he was a busy guy. I didn't figure he had time on his appointment calendar for me. And then a guy showed me in the Bible in Jeremiah where it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. Listen to this. To give you a future and a hope. God has a plan for your life. And he has a plan for your death. Go figure that. It's amazing, amazing thought when you process it for a second. I mean, it's amazing when it says in John, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Well, I knew I wanted that abundance. I knew that. Man, that's fun. And it also says in John at 14:3, and I go to prepare a place for you. He's up there in heaven making me a place. He's my dad. He loves me. He wants me to come home, and he built a house next door to his right there on the family farm. I'm an heir to that. I got my place in the will. I'm beloved, and he's got a plan for me until I do come home. So I got it good here. I got it good there. This was pretty exciting to me, I got to tell you, because it was really starting to fill that hole in my soul. And then I discovered that all of my good deeds didn't amount to squat. It says in Romans, the Bible does, that is, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God, I did this, and I'm in the country club, and I've got this, and I was a Boy Scout leader, and I coached my son's hockey team, and God, I'm a all. And then I got to thinking, well, I have. I mean, I've messed up, and gosh, you've made mistakes too, haven't you? Every one of us have goofed up. I've goofed up today already, and it's early. It doesn't take me long into the day to goof up. So when they said that, once I kind of got past my rationalization, once I put all my merit badges up, I realized there was just Dave under there. And God knows that about everyone. And the weird thing about God is this, that he, while he loves us and is crazy about us, he is the most pure being in the universe. He is so pure and so holy that his very nature cannot allow anything that is the slightest speck of unclean. Pure white, but one little dot over in the corner doesn't cut it. He can't let anything into his presence because he is so pure and so holy. And that left him with a problem. Because you and I aren't, and he loves us, and he wanted to be with us. And it left him with a dilemma. You see, the trying to do good to get in thing, it's kind of like two or three guys that line up and they're going to run and jump across the Grand Canyon. And they work. One guy works out and he spends 2 years preparing his leg muscles and he runs and he's in good shape and he loses weight and he buys the best shoes. And another guy just doesn't try, you know, he doesn't prepare at all. He just lines up. You know, the weird thing is both of them hit the bottom. Neither one of them have the power. Even the one that did all the good stuff, the right stuff to prepare, had done his duty, still didn't make it across. They run, they jump, and like Bugs Bunny with Wile E. Coyote, you're on the bottom. A little poof of smoke. Trying to jump from here to heaven on your good deeds will get you the same result. You can try. You can work out. You can be dutiful. You can do all. You can not try and crash too. Doesn't matter. We can't get there that way. It's like a drowning man trying to pull himself out of the lake by the hair of his own head. Now, there's a weird picture. But that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to do something that is completely outside of your own capability when you try to earn your way in or you try to get to heaven by your heritage. Or all the other ways that we think we've connected. By hugging a tree, by jogging through the forest, by joining a certain political party. Republicans and Democrats alike don't make it. Not even libertarians. Nobody makes it. Unless they learn the program. And there is a program because, you see, God had that dilemma. He couldn't let these unclean things into his presence, and he had to solve the dilemma, and I've got great news. As a matter of fact, it's the best news you'll ever hear. He solved the dilemma. He had to come up with a perfect sacrifice. And with that sacrifice, you and I, if we buy into that concept, have had the price to get to heaven paid for us. He built a bridge across the Grand Canyon. And you can walk across whether you're in great shape or you can walk across if you're limping because of dumb things you've done in the past. You can crawl across, but you can get across. The weird thing is the bridge is there. And sometimes people don't bother to use it. You see, what happened is the Christmas story. You remember the little baby in the manger with the cows and all the stuff around? That's a real thing. That's not just at the department store. That really happened. That little baby was God's only son. Hey, have you ever seen the thing at the football games where they put up John 3:16? Well, that's a Bible verse. And what it says is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now think about that. I've got one son. If I had to give my son, that's how much he loves you. He put his only son on the line. That whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Doesn't say not die. It says when you die, you're going to live with him forever. Everlasting life when you believe that Jesus is his son. Jesus died for us then later. That's Easter. Remember that? It's not about the Easter bunny and eggs, is it? There was a real Easter where a real man was put to death. A man who literally had lived a sinless, a perfect life. He didn't have a spot. It was totally white, not a speck on there, and was put to death. That was the only sacrifice that was good enough for a perfect and a holy and a just God to be able to build that bridge. And so his son died. But then what's cool is, 3 days later, he got up out of the grave on his own power. This is a powerful God. He was resurrected 3 days later. That's the Easter story. Well, you've heard some of these things before in the past, and you know about some of these things. What's this got to do with you? Well, the deal is, you've got to decide, why would God let you into heaven? And what's missing in your life? What about this hole that I was talking about in my soul? Well, I decided to cross that bridge when I was 24 years old. And I'll tell you what I did. I sat down and I found out that the process is pretty simple. As a matter of fact, I thought I needed to work harder. It was amazingly easy. It was amazingly simple. That basically, in order to have that hole in my soul filled, to live abundantly and to spend everlasting life with God, who is crazy about me, with my spiritual dad, all I had to do was a couple of things. One is I had to realize I am a goof up, that I have messed up, all have sinned. And I had to say, I'm going to turn from that. The Bible calls it repenting. That's a Bible word. It means turning away. It's kind of like a military command. To the rear, march! They're walking one direction, immediately pivot on the heel, turn back the other way. Repentance means turning away from our sin and turning toward God's perfect Son, Jesus. Placing our faith in Jesus means, I believe this story. I believe this good news, this great news. That's what placing your faith in Jesus means. Then there's another step or two. Here's the situation. You can place your faith in an airplane. I mean, you go to the airport, you buy a ticket, you walk down the concourse, you go through security, you can meet the pilot, talk to the stewardesses, find out what's being served in the refreshments, find out exactly what the plane is doing, when it's leaving, where it's going, what the flight path is. You can find out everything about it. That you believe that that plane is everything that it says it is, but you've never really committed to it, totally placed your faith in it, until you're on that aluminum tube 35,000 feet in the air. Now you're committed. Now you really have placed your faith there. It's like walking into a room and looking at a chair. I'm sitting in a chair right now. I didn't think anything about walking up to this chair, sitting down in it. I placed my faith in that chair. I didn't do it intellectually. There were actions that followed that could be seen. They were readily available to anyone who saw me walk into this room just now. Dave has faith in that chair. Boom, he sat in it. And here I sit. And so what I have figured out is that because the Bible and some other folks told me that the Bible said this, is that I place my faith in Jesus. I accept him for who he is, the Son of God. And I have repented, turned away from my sin and towards him. Those two decisions, when I knelt and said, God, you are God. You are awesome. These rocky mountains, these deep blue lakes, these oceans at Hawaii and in the Caribbean, these things that I have seen, you did this with your fingernail. You are amazing, and I accept you for who you are, and I accept your son. The weirdest thing happened. I never had a hole in my soul again. It was filled instantaneously. Now, I'll just tell you that sometimes when that happens, fireworks go off in your mind and in the spiritual realm, and a big deal happens, and sometimes it's just almost like, well, we just had another conversation. But I can tell you over the coming weeks that a peace flooded my soul. My personality began to relax. I didn't realize how tense I had been. I found a thing that the Bible calls the peace that passes all understanding. Well, does what we've been talking about make sense to you? Is there any reason why you wouldn't want that? Life more abundantly and an eternal life with a Father who absolutely loves you. I'm not talking about church or church people if they've done you wrong. I'm talking about God. And you'll find God reflected in some of God's people. But never perfectly, because they're just like you and I. They goof up sometimes. Well, let me tell you what we're doing. Number one, you repent from your sin, meaning we're going to do that about face, turn away from it. Then we place our faith in Jesus, and that means we give him control of my life. And man, I'm a control freak, so that was tough for me. But only when you do those two things will that peace that passes understanding just flood over you. Bible says in Romans 10:13, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You ever heard about somebody getting saved? That's what I'm talking about here. You get saved. Saved from going to hell and saved from living your whole life with this weird backache in the spiritual realm because something's missing. Well, if that's you, and it was me, I can tell you that. I can tell you how to get there. If you're in a car listening to this, pull over to the side of the road. Bow your head with me right now. And I'm just going to say a little simple prayer, and I want you to say that with me. I'm going to go slow, so you don't have, if you mess it up, it's okay, because we all mess up. It's all right. But if you understand this concept and you say this with me, you're going to get those things I was talking about. Bow with me. Jesus, I realize I have sinned against God. I realize I cannot save myself. I realize if I got what I deserved, I would end up in hell. Jesus, I believe you are the resurrected and living Son of God who died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, right now I turn away from my sin and I ask you to come into my life and take control and give me eternal life and abundant life. Jesus, thank you for saving me. Amen. That's all there is to it. It's not any harder than that. I'll tell you, if you just prayed that with me, the Bible tells us that there is a huge party going on in heaven right now, that the angels are dancing, and there's a bunch of them. They're all dancing and praising God. Because he's so crazy about you that he shuts the whole place down every time someone accepts him. And they have a big party, a big celebration. I want to tell you to do a couple of things now. Because what will always happen right after this is there is a real devil and he will really come and try to distract you. So I want you to do a couple of things to make sure that you learn more and that you really get plugged into this and that it has the life-changing effect that God intends for your life. Because he does have a plan, remember that? Number one, I want you to get a good Bible. The King James Version is the one kind of sounds like Shakespeare. I honestly can't read that one. Sometimes people can do that thous and these and stuff, and it sounds real holy and all that. And if that's for you, that's great. You go do that. But I'll tell you, something like an NIV, a New International Version, or I read the New King James, which is a little less Englishy, or there's some real plain ones out there called the Message. And the contemporary English version, the CEV version. Find something that you can read where you can learn about God and learn about the story of his people. The second thing is, I want you to find a good church. And that may take a little bit of time. Don't be afraid to ask bold questions about the church. Don't be afraid to find out what's going on. Do not look for a perfect one. There aren't any. They have people in them just like you that are messed up. But find one that fits kind of your style. And then learn from them. Once you do, and maybe early in that process even, sit down with that pastor at that church or that minister and ask them to baptize you. They'll explain what all that means. The last thing I'd like for you to do is if you've listened to this tape and you've said that prayer with me and you've gotten eternal life and a future abundant life because of it, I'd like to hear from you and know that that happened. You can do that pretty simply by calling us at 888-22-PEACE, 888-227-3223. Just let one of our members in the customer care center know. Or you could go online at daveramsey.com and get our address and phone numbers and drop me a letter. That would be great. Or easier than that, just go online at daveramsey.com, hit Dave's email, send me an email and tell me this happened. I won't read it on the radio. But I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to know that you have found the peace that passes understanding, that you have found eternal life. Thanks for listening. God bless you.